Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Riesling and Raven. And this is episode 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13 post-show review. Alrighty, so we are gonna jump right into this. So first up, we remember that the last episode, the girls who were in the top, none of them went home, and the top two lip synced for $5,000, and Simone won. So after the lip sync, we go back into the workroom, and the girls are talking about it, and Lala Ree's inner confessional is like, Simone's win was total. She says that Simone's win lit a fire under her. We'll have to see about that. Again, the pork chop girls are still unaware that Elliot is actually still here. So when if they mix all the girls together, probably next week maybe, they're gonna get an awakening, and I cannot wait to see how they react to seeing that Elliot's still here. I'm so excited. Okay, so for episode 3, the guest judge is Nicole Byers, who I love. I love Nicole Byers in the one baking show where people have to replicate a baked good, and it's always so bad, and Nicole Byers is so shady about it, and she's so funny on the show. I just love her. She's not as hilarious as like Leslie Jones, but she pretty much kind of gives me the same like vibes and such about it. Okay, so entering the workroom, we have the pork chop girls coming in. I'm gonna address the group as like the pork chop girls and whatnot. So they walk in and they're all out of drag, and this is the first time they're all talking as a group out of drag and talking about like, this is the first time we're seeing each other as like boys and like who's who. And Utica's just like, I'm so distracted by all these gorgeous manses all around me, and I'm just like, hashtag me, I'd be so distracted. And Utica is extremely tall. When you see her standing alongside the rest of the girls, Utica is like maybe 6'5" when she's in her boots, maybe. Yeah, about 6'5", maybe, it looks like. So the format of this episode is the same as the last episode. They're going to have a runway with two looks, and then they have the same challenge for the maxi challenge, which is writing lyrics, choreographing a number, and performing it in front of the judges. And the mini challenge is the same thing. So it's daytime lady for the first outfit, and then nighttime vampress seductress for the second outfit. And right off the bat, Kimora's already struggling, and they just started, because apparently Kimora takes forever, and she's known for taking forever for her makeup and everything. And I'm just like, girl, you know that the girls have a limited time. This is season 13, bitch. Like, we know that the girls have a limited amount of time to get ready. So Kimora is struggling like it is nobody's business. And when they get their 5-minute call to the stage, Kimora's literally still not even done her full face. She still has to get dressed, and they already have 5-minute call. And it's like, oh my god, Kimora, what? Like, you can't even, the girls, when they're ready, the girls are already backstage lined up to do the runway, and Kimora doesn't even have her body done. So it's like, oh my god, this is going to be the biggest struggle bus in the world for Kimora. I mean, at this point, this is the first time we're seeing them get ready in this format. Or, like, this is the first time we're seeing the pork chop girls getting ready and such. So this is the first time we're seeing Kimora, and this is probably the first time Kimora is actually having to, like, get ready in the under 1 hour period. Or the hour period, and she's just really, really struggling. So, We finally move to the mini challenge and we have daytime ladylike realness. So I organized the looks between love, meh, and hate, and I have no hates. Out of the daytime ladylike looks for the Pork Chop Girls, I didn't hate any of the looks. There were some that I was like, meh, it's aight. And then others that I love, but I didn't really hate any of the looks. So the first, is it the first? Well, I'm just gonna go in this order. So out of my meh list that are like, okay, Denali had a blue cocktail dress with her yellow hair and the flowers that were on the dress cascading down her leggings. I thought that was a cute touch. I did like the flowers going down the leggings. I was slightly, it isn't a love just because I didn't really like the yellow hair with it. I was like, I'm not really feeling this urine sample yellow hair with this gorgeous blue kind of, not lavender blue, what is it? The blue flower, I can't remember what that was. But if she did like instead of a yellow, a very toned blonde, like platinum blonde, or like a soft blonde, that would have been cuter for me. But that's just me. I just didn't like the yellow hair with it. And then the other two on the list was Tamisha in her red outfit with the sheer overcoat. Now that I rethink about it, I did like it. I mean, I did like the harem pant jumper. And then after her was her Kimora's white 50s Dior sort of royal lady with the fascinator. It was cute. It was definitely daytime ladylike. It was just cute. I liked it. I didn't hate it. Like, I didn't hate any of these looks. I was just like, nah. But Kimora's face was so soft. You could tell, like, her makeup was, like, it's soft to begin with, but, like, you could see the difference between that face and her face when she walked in on the first day. Like, you could tell she definitely rushed her makeup. Like, she fixed her makeup and whatnot when she did the nighttime vampire look, but with her 50s white lady, although granted with what she was wearing, the soft face looked good with it. I did like her soft face with this white 50s Dior royal, what did she say, Pippa Middleton she mentioned, or was it the other one? I think it was the other one, not Pippa, but the other one. And then out of the looks that I loved Joey J's punk lady walking her dog gold outfit. Loved it. I loved the her body. Her body was stunning. I love the way that she pads, and if she cinches, works perfectly. It looked great. Her body was snatched. But yeah, I called it like punk lady-esque with a fur vest going to walk her dog or going to go pay her bills at the bank. It was adorable. And then after that, I have Rosé in her it was a Moschino kind of cocktail dress with big round shoulders, and her purse was in the shape of an R because it said OSE on the back of her dress, and then she puts the purse beside it and it says Rosé. I thought that was very cute, and it's apparently a Moschino, but when I saw it, my first thought was the Mondrian geometric paintings that he did, where it's all blocking and squared geometric shapes of colors, and the colors were very similar to that of Rosé's outfit. So that's what I thought it was. Apparently it was a Moschino, but Moschino probably designed those outfits with the Mondrian influence in it. Just as an art, with an art background, I just really saw Mondrian as the reference. And then after that, Utica's outfit, which was like the when they did the ball challenge for season 12, I think it was the ball challenge. Yeah, because Jade Essence Hall did the like white bubbles with the wicker, with the waffle balls and the wrapped up hair. Yeah, so the balls to the wall challenge is what Utica's ball outfit, or Utica's daytime look, reminded me of. It was very 60s mod, but with balls. I thought it was cute. And then she had these like sheer cutouts on the side. I thought that was a cute outfit. I loved that one. And then, so that's those six. And now we move to the nighttime vamp looks. And with the nighttime vamp looks, there was one that I hated. So with the nighttime vamp, each look that I saw, I tried to see if I could equate it to a vampire in cinema that I love and know of. So starting with the ones that I loved with the nighttime looks, again, Joey J in her black bodysuit with the chains drooping and her gorgeous makeup. It was very rock and roll, and she did her natural hair with this one. And the thing that crossed my mind vampire related was the movie The Lost Boys. I feel like she could have definitely been like a member from Lost Boys, or she could have been like a patron from that bar in Queen of the Damned called The Admiral's Arms. I feel like in this outfit, it was either rock and roll Lost Boys vampire realness, or it was Queen of the Damned sort of punk rock vampire in the Admiral's Arms bar. That's what I thought, and I loved it. And I liked that I made that connection to the Joey's outfit. And then we have Rosé's outfit, which when Rosé turned the corner and I saw what she was wearing, I squealed like a little pig. Oh my god, because that headpiece I know is exactly an Alexander McQueen headpiece. I know it, and I saw it, and I loved it, with the big hip panniers and the sheer over, like, skirting over top of it. I was like in love with it. And with Rosé's Alexander McQueen outfit, I equated that to like a very artsy abstract version of Interview with the Vampire. And I mean, granted, with Interview with the Vampire, we go through many decades and eras of time. But definitely with the earlier part of the film, I definitely saw Interview with the Vampire with Rosé's outfit. And then my meh list, I have Denali in, I guess, another Moschino outfit. The girls really like Moschino and McQueen. And obviously Kimora loves her Bob Mackie. But yeah, so Denali's outfit is a Moschino sheer dress with a boned petticoat underneath it. I have been wanting to design and make a petticoat just like that. There's a designer that I follow named Stefan Roland. He did a dress collection I think it's his 2018 collection. And he has a couple ball gowns where the outer layer is sheer, and then you can see the petticoat underneath with lots of sculptural boning and everything going all through it. And it's intentionally seen. And with Denali's, I got a very ghostly sort of look, as opposed to gothy vampire sexy woman. I like the outfit though. I did like that outfit. It was cute. I did like it. But it was a meh. Kimora, I didn't hate this. I did enjoy Kimora's Mugler-inspired black cocktail dress with that red hair. I did like Kimora's outfit, and she tweaked her makeup to suit the runway theme and finish her makeup, probably. But I didn't hate it. I did like it, but it didn't remind me of something. I thought it would have been kind of Devil Wears Prada if they were vampires. I thought it was kind of like that. And then after Kimora, I have Utica in her very Victorian, over the top, very Interview with the Vampire-esque, But it was a lot for me. I feel like there could have been some editing, but it's a lot, and that's Utica. But again, it was just a lot. And it was, I didn't hate it. I loved her makeup. I loved the details in, around her eyes. And then, it did remind me of Interview with the Vampire. But later, when they're undressing and whatnot, I see Utica with her undergarments, and they're strapping all over her body underneath all of that. And I didn't see it. And I'm like, I love the strapping so much more than what she wore. I don't know why she didn't wear the strap undergarments. I love that so much more. I just wish she wore that instead, because that was stunning. And then the last person I have is Tamisha in her dress with hair wefting and extensions. That is on my hate list. I did not like that outfit. I didn't get nighttime vampy lady from a hairdress. So that was kind of a bust for me, which I felt really bad because Tamisha kills it later on in the episode with her outfit. But it was just, I got hair instead of vampy. It was, yeah. So after the girls are finished the runway, we now move into the workroom for the post-runway discussion. Hello, hello, hello. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to my first Patreon patron, Robin Fisher. Thank you so much for signing up. It means the world, especially from the amount of times that I like come into your work and like look for you specifically just to like gab. It means so much. So thank you so much. And if you guys want to join the exclusive Patreon family, you can find me at patreon.com/ravenessclaw. That is patreon.com/ravenessclaw. So let's get back to the podcast. All right, so post-runway, we are in the workroom and the girls are chit-chatting away, and somebody asks, hey, how old are people? And somebody asks Tamisha, hey, how old are you? And Tamisha's 49 years old. Tamisha's almost 50. She has 3 children. Apparently, like, all of the girls are younger than, like, Tamisha's kids. And I'm like, whoa, Tamisha looks fucking amazing for 49. Black don't crack, and trust me, that is not a lie. Holy fuck. And apparently like Utica's is 25, and I think I heard Utica was the youngest. I think Rosé was 31, unless I misheard 21, but I think Utica's the youngest at 25. So our maxi challenge, they have to, again, like the other group, they have to write lyrics, group choreograph a number to Ruse song Phenomenon, same as the other group. They ask around, and so Denali is singing and rapping her verse, Rosé is singing, Utica's rapping because, Utica also has no experience with writing, but Joey has no experience with anything, and Kimora was confidently saying, I am not a dancer. So that was interesting. Because then right after we learn Joey, Rosé, and Denali are all dancers. And they're like, oh, we should choreograph it like that. And they're already choreographing it while they're sitting. But everyone's kind of like talking over each other. And there's just a lot going on. And I wrote down, a lot of cooks are in the kitchen. Like a lot's going on. There's a lot of like discussions and ideas and being thrown out there, and I just felt like someone needed to definitely mediate and organize all of these thoughts being done. And it just keeps going and gets worse when they get onto that main stage to rehearse it. So they get to the stage, and right away Denali takes the lead with starting the choreo, and then Rosé jumps in giving her couple cents, and then every bit, like, Joey starts chiming in, and then all of a sudden we go from everyone giving their 2 cents to fucking $50 each. And the whole time you see it on Tamisha's face, Tamisha is frustrated. Tamisha's just not having it. And then Kimora is just completely confused and lost because Kimora's not a dancer and Kimora doesn't know who to listen to. And you hear Denali's voice, you're having Rosé's voice and Joey's voice, and everybody's throwing ideas around, but nothing's actually being done. So automatically, Tamisha's just like, I've had it. I can't. And Tamisha secretly didn't tell anyone that she is a huge performer and dancer, but she didn't say anything because I guess she didn't feel like she was at the same level as these girls because she's older and she can't move the way that she used to. But like, I feel like Tamisha would have been a great leader even if she wouldn't be able to move. If Tamisha can direct and choreograph even though she can't move, there are a lot of great dance teachers, and there are a lot of amazing, like, judges and, like, choreographers who can't dance anymore for whatever reason, but can still choreograph amazingly. So I felt like Tamisha really should have just taken the lead on this, because she's also more level-headed, and Tamisha has 3 kids, so you know she knows how to lay the hammer down. So already, but by the time we go to a commercial, already with what I'm seeing the girls trying and doing, I'm already so much more impressed with this performance. Oh, my phone's yelling at me. My phone's about to die. But yeah, so already this group's performance and choreo is so much more interesting and way, way more advanced than the other group. I'm sorry, but this group killed it for me in the choreo department. I freaking loved it. Oh my god. So after that, we go back to the workroom to get ready and get into face. And once again, Kimora's running around with like a chicken with its head cut off. Being like, I'm already behind. Ah, la, 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 la. Oh my god, Kimora. Goodness me, girl. So we're talking, Joey and Kimora are chit-chatting away. And Kimora mentions that her boyfriend, she's been with her boyfriend for 8 years, but she keeps her drag completely separate from her relationship. Like, apparently, I guess either her boyfriend for sure doesn't, or she feels like he doesn't want anything to do with her drag, and he doesn't want her to do drag full time, and he doesn't want to be around it. So Kimora keeps everything separate in like a storage unit and like completely out of her boyfriend's view of everything. And I'm just like, that sucks. Like, to be with someone who doesn't want to be involved with anything that you are doing with your art, like, that's shitty. I really felt like shit when I heard about Kimora explaining her situation. Like, that's definitely not cool as a partner. But they've been together for 8 years, so it's difficult on her. So I can kind of see that. And by this point, Kimora's already sped up, and her face is already, she's already working on her eyes at this point. And she's definitely sped up, and Kimora's learned to speed up. And then we go over to Tamisha, and we learn that Tamisha has an entire, like, dynasty of drag daughters and members and whatnot, who there are a fair amount that have unfortunately passed away. And I did not know this, and I was so excited to hear the viral video of the drag queen that is falling from the ceiling and landing in a split is one of Tamisha's daughters. I lost my shit. That is so freaking cool. The viral video of that drag queen dropping from a ceiling and landing in a split. I remember watching that so many times and like sharing it And then to finally see the mother of that daughter, or the mother of that daughter on Drag Race, that is so freaking cool. Unfortunately, also, she was one of the daughters who had passed away. She didn't go into detail as to how her daughters passed, but it's just very unfortunate that such a talented and popular performance, the performer passed away. It's very unfortunate. But Tamisha definitely has a workhouse of a dynasty under her. And if her daughters were alive, they would all be backing her 100%. She would have the hugest, I just feel so bad for Tamisha. You learn so much more when you get to hear these one-on-ones when they're getting ready and stuff. It's just, you learn so much. So, moving to the major performance, the Maxi Challenge. Again, guest judge is, what was it? Nicole Byers, yes. And Rue's outfit is a gorgeous gown with a slit up the leg and a stunning shade of orange. I loved this color on Rue. Loved this shade of orange on her. And his hair was stunning. It was like platinum blonde. It was gorgeous. So, throughout the performance, Denali killing her part. I think she was the first one to do it, or the first queen up. Denali killing her part. Then we get some choreo, and I'm just like, yes, choreo. Yes, water fan, fanography. Loved it. And then we get to Kimora's energy and Kimora's solo. And I just wrote, Kimora has very low energy in comparison to the rest of the girls and the rest of the performance. So Kimora didn't really do so well as the rest of the crew. But by the end of the number, I really didn't hate anything. I loved everything. It was fantastic. The performance, it's the whole group, they fucking killed it. And I loved it so much more than the first group. So, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, in my other reviews, I felt like this group were the true winners of the full cast, and the other group were kind of lackluster. And just, yeah. So now we on to the actual runway for the outfits. And the category is We're Here, We're Sheer. So a lot of translucent and sheer fabric. Again, I wrote down love for all of the outfits besides one, which was meh, but that's just because of the elements and the simplicity of it, and it could have just gone a bit further, but I still loved it. So my meh is Denali's with her Iris van Herpen inspired sort of petal looking gown or dress. It was, I think, mid-thigh, and it was a very, very pale lilac lavender. And she said it was inspired by Iris van Herpen, who I know, well, not personally, but I follow Iris van Herpen's fashion and whatnot, and always such avant-garde, almost the art and the construction and the wow factor is the guiding principle and theme over the functionality and the wearability. It is just walking art. And I felt like Denali's was a very toned down interpretation of what Iris van Herpen does. But it was still adorable. It reminded very much of oversized petals, like an orchid. I thought that was very, very cute. And then after, we have Joey in a black sheer fringe bodysuit, but with a front panel and a back cape panel. I thought it was cute. A lot of simple shapes in there, but the fringe was fun. I almost for a moment thought it was more fringe than sheer, and it was more like a fringe outfit than a sheer runway outfit. But I still loved it, and the movement and everything. After, Kimora's in her sheer, almost Cher replica Bob Mackie outfit. I loved it. Loved the hair. She had these massive fucking car steering wheel earrings. They were huge. But I love that outfit. It was very good. After Kimora, we have Rosé. I love this one. This one was more sheer plastic and with a massive oversized ruffle cuff sleeve thing. It was like from the elbow to the wrist, just draped like 4 feet of ruched plastic fabric thing. Oh my God. It was fun. And then I'll get to that later on. After Rosé, we then have Tamisha, and Tamisha's in this fantastic, gorgeous, champagne, sparkling, glamorous, sheer gown with this,
That's it.
She had like a pleated petal element on her waist on her right side. And she makes everything, which I always hold my hand over the girl who makes all of her shit herself over any of the other girls who will buy their shit. So I respect Tamisha so much more. Because fuck, the fact that she's been doing this for over 30 years, or I think she said almost over 30 years, or about 30 years, and she still makes everything, and I'm just so in love with Tamisha within this outfit. Fucking amazing. And then after Tamisha, we have Utica in a kind of Stevie Nicks, well, not Stevie Nicks, a Stevie Nicks, but not Stevie Nicks, flowy watercolor fabric black flowiness, and it was just a lot of gorgeous movement and whatnot, and I didn't hate it. I actually loved the color combination of the warm pieces of fabric in contrast to the cool pieces of fabric. It was like a fire and water combination with the black, and then her makeup, it was very Dusty Ray Bottoms and Acid Betty, but in a Utica way. It was very Utica-esque. Loved it, loved it, loved it. So, after the runway, we have the judges' critiques, and starting with Denali, the judges definitely liked her versatility in the outfits on the mini challenge with the daytime look going into the nighttime. The judges liked her versatility and loved her performance and her energy in the maxi challenge. With Joey, Michelle asked about the no wigs, and Joey's like, I don't feel like me in a wig, and when I'm wearing my natural hair, it is a 100% me. And then Michelle's like, okay, but don't be a one-trick pony, and we just want to see some versatility. And then Joey's like, oh, don't worry, I brought hair. And so Michelle's like, okay, well, we are gonna see it. So they basically just challenged Joey to, like, wear the wigs that he brought. Not much of a challenge. And then we get to Kimora, and she is, once again, she's gorgeous, stunning. Liked the outfit in the performance, loved the outfits in the runways. However, they're asking, is she just her outfits, and does she have a personality, or is she just a mannequin that's sharing these outfits? Is, like, does she have a personality, or is she just her outfits? So that'll be definitely a storyline that we have with Kimora, and seeing if she can be a performer on the stage and more than just a gorgeous outfit and a mannequin. So after Kimora, we have Rosé, and Ross was like, I don't want to be that person because I got red for it last season, but I don't want to say crafty, but it's crafty. But he didn't say crafty. He said it's drag. It is high whore drag and being smart. And they really loved Rosé's performance. I did too. I thoroughly enjoyed Rosé's energy. Even when she was in the background, I still saw her giving 100% energy and just killing it in the background. Loved Rosé's stage presence on it. And then after that, we have Tamisha, and they are dying over this like gown, and they loved her daytime outfit, the red one with the sheer sort of robe, but not a robe. It's like the construction of an overcoat made with sheer embellished fabric. I liked it too. I did like it. I liked the fabric. But they were asking if she held back in the performance because her energy and her putting in the 100 wasn't quite prevalent or there compared to the rest of the girls. And she just explained that, like, well, I don't even know if she explained it to them. I can't remember now already. God damn it, I just watched it. But yeah, it's kind of, she's not able to do the things that she used to, especially with her having just finished chemo like a year ago, or being diagnosed for chemo a year ago and going through all that. But yeah, Tamisha just kind of held back in energy. And then Utica, the majority of the judges were like, you are a one of a kind in a quirky way. And Michelle just wanted to double check to make sure that Utica keeps the quirkiness and the uniqueness, but always making sure that everything still is cohesive and goes together and is unified, which I 100% agree. There's a difference between throwing everything together and calling it a Utica outfit and throwing it all together, but thinking smart about each and every item in a very individual way and making sure that they all actually work and are cohesive as a unit, just as they are individually on a body. If that makes sense to people, I get it. But yeah, I loved her spotted makeup. I loved how she painted this face this time. So queens go and untuck, and judges chit chat a bit. And so basically they're just like, they want Joey to wear hair more and they want to see versatility and whatnot. And then they are concerned Kermora isn't more than her outfits, and want to make sure that Kermora will basically be able to produce and give more than just a mannequin Barbie doll. And then also Tamisha needs to be able to let go and give the full 100 that she can, especially with the years of experience she has and with the empire that she's created in her drag family. But in the end, all in all, no bad critiques or reviews, nothing terrible. It's just giving new challenges to the girls, just like, hey, try this, hey, we want to see this. But yeah, nothing really bad, which was amazing because I felt like these critiques were a lot better than the other groups. So the girls come back, and we don't have a bottom two, we have a top two, very much like the other group of queens. I almost said queer. Nope. The other group of queens, and our top two are Rosé and Denali, and I loved it. I like the pick, even though Rosé and Denali's outfits may not have been my faves. Sorry. But the performance was definitely like on top, on point. The performance was killer between the two. And so the song that they have to lip sync is If You Seek Amy by Britney Spears. Whole time, Denali giving me life, serving me Britney. Rosé obviously taking more of a funny comedic approach. And then just like in season 6, when we had Laganja and I believe Jocelyn Fox, both of them drop into a split or a death drop at the exact same time when they did Stupid Girls by Pink. I think that was it. I think it was Stupid Girls between Jocelyn and Laganja when they both did a drop and split at the same time. Denali and Rosé do the exact same thing. Denali dropping into a dip, and Rosé dropping into a dip, and Denali doing a split at the same time. And when I watched Drag Race with my mother, and she's like, "Oh my god, they did it at the same time!" And I'm sitting here like, "Yeah, they did that about 7 or 8 seasons ago, about 7 seasons ago, yeah." And I'm like, "Yeah, season 6, yeah, they did that." And then at the very end, their final poses were basically identical. They both had their backs to the judges, and they both looked over their right shoulder at the same beat. And I'm just like, "Okay, that was cute. That was a cute ending." So after the lip sync, Denali won $5,000. So I guess Denali and Simone, we got to keep our eyes on for lip syncs. And yeah, so for the preview for next week, the girls finally all meet each other, and then we get to see the face crack of the century with the girls realizing Elliot didn't go home. I am so excited to see this face crack. I'm so excited. You have no idea. But yeah, so we finally get a full cast next week, and we have an acting challenge. I don't think they actually explained what the theme of it was. It was Rue something. Rue Hallmark Channel or something. But I think it's play on the Hallmark Channel and the Christmas movies and all that. But yeah, so they have an acting challenge, and then I didn't catch what the outfits or the theme was for the runway, but we're finally getting our full girl set of, we're getting all 13 of the girls instead of 12, and we're already 2 episodes into this without an elimination. So, or no, we're 3 episodes into this without an elimination, and we still have 13 girls. Oh, wow. How long is this gonna run? Huh. Somebody filter through Reddit and everything and try and see if they're still doing a full, like, season and, like, with the... Oh, how are they gonna do the finale this time? Interesting. Yeah, this is already an interesting season, just with the beginning and start. This is just weird. This is just weird. 13 seasons into this bitch, and now it gets weird. But yeah, so that is my review. Thoughts, comments, anything? You can definitely find me on my social media handles. My contacts are all in the description. Follow the link to my Insta bio. Follow me on Insta, on Facebook. You can catch me on Patreon. I am working on a huge project. Right now, it is in 5 parts. I might be going up to 6, maybe 7, maybe 10. But right now, I'm starting with 5 parts of it. And I am almost done part 1 of 5. And I'm excited. It is going to be a series. And you will be able to get exclusive advanced access to it, to be able to view it on my Patreon. So if you are not on my Patreon, go check it out. Select a tier that works with you. This project is exclusive to my second, third, and fourth tiers. So that's the $10, $20, and $50 tier, I think. But yeah, so definitely check it out, see what works. Find me on Instagram, Ravenous Claw, YouTube. There's really not much going on there, but I still have performances and whatnot from the good old days. Find me on Facebook. I'm always uploading some stuff onto my Facebook from my Insta. And always subscribe to Riesling and Raven on Spotify. Be sure to catch my weekly reviews of RuPaul's Drag Race and possibly Drag Race UK. I have access to the channel that Drag Race UK is on, so I may watch it too. I didn't actually watch season one, so I should probably do that first. I should watch Drag Race UK one first. But yeah, so I'm contemplating on doing a post-show review of the UK season. So definitely keep an eye out for Riesling and Raven on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or whatever great podcasts are listened to. Thank you to Anchor with this platform. And yeah, so good. I guess that leaves us with good evening, good night, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time of the day is when you're listening to this. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so it's more than appropriate to pour yourself another glass of Riesling. Have a good night.